It's time for a catch. It's time for a catch. Let's read Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. The Bible says like this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Verse 5, Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Everybody say, "Because you say so, I will let down the nets." Verse 6 says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that had been taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your presence that is already here, God. And I pray that you would put me to the side, Lord, and you would help me to convey your word to your people here that have gathered here this morning. Speak to their hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, it's time for the catch. It's time for a catch. God is getting his people ready, you and I, because God wants to bring in a multitude of souls into the house of God. God is getting ready to bring in people. Miracles and salvations are going to take place in the house of God. And we need to publicize this. We need to publicize what God's going to do. That's why we want to raise up a strong multimedia ministry. We want to open up a YouTube channel. Amen. And we want to record what God is doing, and we want to publicize it to the world. See, I was given, I think I shared it with you already. I was given a word from the Lord that that's what we need to do. That God's going to bring miracles and God's going to bring salvations in the house of God. And we need to publicize it and open a Victory Outreach San Francisco YouTube channel and publicize what God's going to do. But guess what? I don't know how to do that. But somebody here probably knows how to do that. Amen. We need a multimedia ministry to rise up. Somebody that knows how to record and how to open a YouTube channel and upload and download and do all that stuff. Amen. That's what we need. God told us that's what we need to do. Amen. So we need to be obedient to God. Because he said so, we have to do it. Amen. Amen. And because there's a catch that's coming. There's a catch. There's souls that are coming into the house of God that are going to get saved, committed, filled with the Holy Ghost, get on fire for God, get excited for the things of God. Amen, church. And that's what we see happening in this story that we read here. We read here that there's a man named Simon, who Jesus later changed his name to Peter. You know, Simon, he was in the flesh, but God says, "I'm going to change your name to Peter." Peter means rock. I'm going to change your name to, you're going to be solid. You know, at the beginning, Simon, he was always, you know, saying the wrong thing. You always, you know, getting into fights and arguing. But God said, "I'm going to change you. You're going to be a rock. I'm going to change your name from Simon to Peter." But right here, Peter wasn't Peter yet. He was Simon still. He was still in the flesh. Amen. He still needed to be worked on. Anybody here like that? Me too. Amen. We're still in the maybe like Simon. We need to let God work on us. Amen. And God's going to change us, amen, and make us solid like a rock, amen. So that's what was going on here. Jesus is, he's preaching to the multitudes. People are gathering from all over the place to hear him preach and hear him teach, amen. They were excited to see what Jesus was going to do because they had seen him do miracles. And so they wanted to be a part of the miracle. So multitudes were following. And so then Jesus, he sees a couple of boats, and he gets in one of the boats, the boat that belonged to Simon, and he tells Simon, you know, push out into the shore a little bit so I can have a little elbow room, and so I could minister to the word of God, I could minister the word of God to the multitudes. So the Bible says that he begins to teach the word of God. He begins to preach the word of God. And Simon, he had just come in from fishing, and he's mending his nets. He's cleaning his nets. You know, so while he's cleaning the nets, he's hearing the word of God being preached. There's a few things I want to bring out from these scriptures. The first thing I want to bring out to you is that Jesus came on the scene to bring success. Jesus came on the scene to bring success. Guess what? Jesus is coming on the scene in your life to bring success. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be prosperous. I'm not talking about, you know, being a millionaire, a billionaire, which is, if that happens, praise the Lord for that. But I'm not talking about that. God wants you to be successful. And whatever you're doing for the Lord, whatever you do for God, God wants you to be successful. We see here that even though Peter was fishing and nothing happened, but when he obeyed God, that he saw a great catch. Many fish came in. Jesus comes on the scene to make you successful. Are you hearing me, church? God wants you to be successful. But you need to understand that God is getting you ready because there's a new thing that's coming. God is doing something new in our church. God is doing something new within your life, within your families. God is doing something new, but you need to be ready. You need to be ready for what God is doing. If you're not ready for what God's going to do, then you're going to miss out. God is going to bring a great catch into this church. A great catch is coming. Amen. We're praying and we're fasting and we're hearing from the word of God. And now you and I need to position ourselves. You need to position yourself for the great catch. Amen, church. You need to get ready to hold on to the net because a great catch is coming. But you and I need to be holding on tightly to the net because a great catch is coming. But you need to be ready. You need to position yourself. God has a special anointing for every single one of you. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you, church. God is anointing you. God is anointing you, every single one of you. You have a special anointing from God. And you need to realize that and recognize that. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at what you have or what you don't have. Don't look at what the church has or what the church doesn't have. God has a special anointing on you, and God is getting us ready for this great catch, but you need to be in position. You need to be in position. You need to come under the authority and hold on tight to the net. Amen, church. You need to find your place on the net. You need to find your place. Don't just be a Christian that comes to church and you're just roaming and throughout the church. But you need to find your place, whether it's in the music ministry or in the ushers ministry or whether it's in the children's ministry or evangelism, whatever it is, you need to find your place. And you need to hold on to that place tightly. Are you listening to me, church? I'm telling you, and I pray you catch what I'm trying to say because God is going to bring in a great catch. Amen. God is doing this, not me. I got no special powers, but God is all powerful. And he's going to do something great. But we need to be ready for this great catch. God is bringing success. God is getting you ready for success. Are you listening to me, church? But for success to happen, we have to do something very important. This is a four-letter word. So don't plug your ears because I need you to hear this four-letter word. Obey. Obey. Obedience is not just for your children. It's for you too. Amen? We want our kids to be obedient. But God wants you to be obedient. Because your kids are not going to be obedient until you're obedient. Amen? Obey. Look at verse 4 and 5 of this opening scriptures in Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 4 and 5. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. He says, because you say so, because Jesus said so, I will go let down the nets. He said, I've been out there all night, working all night, trying to catch something, and we haven't caught anything. We haven't caught nothing. But then Jesus tells him, go out into the deep. And he says, all right, even though it doesn't make sense, Peter is probably thinking, what do you know about fishing? You're just a carpenter, right? Jesus was raised by a carpenter, right? Joseph was a carpenter, so Jesus was a carpenter, right? Peter is thinking, what do you know about fishing? You just know how to make tables and make chairs. But what do you know about the seas? What do you know about what's going on out there? In fact, all fishermen at that time understood and knew that in the Sea of Galilee, that you're supposed to go fishing at night in the shallow waters. Because that's where the fish came. At nighttime, they would come in the shallow waters. But what is Jesus telling him to do? Go out in the daytime in the deep waters. Something that is completely opposite to what fishermen understood. How many know God will tell you to do something that doesn't make sense? But are you willing to use that four-letter word, obey? Thank God, Peter, he said, Master, if you say so, at your word, I will go out into the deep. But why was he so obedient? Remember, he wasn't Peter yet. He was still Simon. Why was he so obedient? Well, you got to remember, look at verse 3. He got into one of the boats. That's talking about Jesus. God went to one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him, put out a little from the shore. Jesus told Peter, put out a little from the shore. In verse 3, he puts out a little, but in verse 4, he says, go out into the deep. He had to put out a little into the shore first. Then Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So he first tells Peter, put out a little. And Peter said, oh, sure, no problem. I could put out a little. He put the boat out a little bit, and then Jesus got in the boat and began to teach. And then Peter begins to wash his nets, clean his nets. And while he's cleaning his nets, what is Jesus doing? He's teaching the word. He's teaching the word. And Peter is hearing this preaching, this teaching that Jesus is doing. He's hearing the word. He's hearing. Guess what happens when you hear the word? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. He's listening to as he's cleaning his nets, he's hearing the word of God go forth. He's hearing the word of God. And Peter, his faith is starting to build. His faith is starting to get stirred up. That's why it's so important to hear the word of God. That's why it's so important to be a part of Bible studies and to be a part of church and coming to church and hearing the word of God. That's why it's so important to go to these events that we're going to Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to hear the word of God. Why? Because God wants to build our faith. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Build our faith. So Peter was obedient to the little command. Put out in the shallow end first. Put out, and he was obedient. Yes, I can go out. I could take the boat out to the shallow end. He was obedient. If you're not faithful in the little, you will not be faithful in much. Amen? That's the first message we heard this year. Amen? This year we heard a message. And the message was that we have an opportunity that's coming. An opportunity is coming our way. But you and I need to be faithful at the little first. If we're going to see success, if we're going to see the great things that God wants to do, we need to be faithful at the little. Right now, church, whatever you're doing for God, you need to be faithful at that. Be faithful at setting up chairs or putting the chairs away if that's all you're doing right now. Be faithful at the little commands that God is giving to you. Come to church. Be faithful to church. Those are the little commands. Come to church early. Be here early. Be here to get ready to worship God. Amen, church. These are all the little commands that God is giving us. Amen, church. If we're not faithful at these little commands, and when God brings in the faith, when God brings in the catch, we're not going to be faithful at the great things that God wants us to do. Amen. And so here we see that Peter, he was obedient. He obeyed Jesus when Jesus told him, go out into the deep, because his faith began to get stirred up. Hallelujah. His faith was stirred up. See, Jesus was using his boat as a pulpit. Jesus used his boat as a pulpit to catch many fish. But Jesus was focusing on Peter, really, because Peter was the man that was going to lead the church the way it was supposed to go. Are you listening, church? See, so you and I need to be obedient to the word. Obedient. Hear the word. Let your faith get stirred up. And then you got to be obedient, even though it doesn't make sense. Are you listening? It doesn't make sense sometimes to do what God says. But we got to be obedient. Amen? God says go into the deep. God is pushing us into the deep. God wants us to go into the deep. And maybe it's not where fish are at, but that's where God wants us to catch the fish. Amen, church. God wants us to go into the deep. God wants us to go into the tenderloin. God wants us to go into the ghettos, into the projects. God wants us to go into the places where most people don't go to catch fish. Amen, church. But God wants us to go into these places because there's a great catch that is coming. Are you listening, church? The Mission District, the Bayview District, all these areas, there's a great catch that God wants to bring in. But are you ready for this great catch? Are you ready? See, we got to obey whatever God tells us to do. Amen, church. And then when Peter obeyed, what happened? A miracle takes place. Let's look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. When they had done so, there's the obedience, amen. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. A large number of fish was caught and their nets began to break. Obedience leads to miracles. Obedience leads to miracles. If you want to see miracles, then you got to stop being rebellious. You want to see miracles in your family. You want to see miracles at your job. You want to see miracles at home. You want to see miracles in the church. Then we got to stop being rebellious and we got to start being obedient, because obedience leads to miracles. Because when they done so, that's when they caught a large number of fish. But if they had not done so, then they would have still kept on cleaning their nets and gone home all bummed out, not knowing how they were going to feed their family, not knowing how they were going to, you know, meet all the needs. But because they done so, because they were obedient, they went out and they worked some more. Peter said, I've been working all night. I'm tired. But if you say so, Master, I will go out. Amen? And he went out and he began to see this miracle take place. Listen, church, God is getting us ready for expansion. God is getting us ready for growth. God wants to bring miracles in our church. God wants to bring salvations in our church. God wants us to grow. God wants us to expand. God wants us to see great and mighty things take place. But you and I need to be men and women that are expecting God to do these great miracles. And we're praying for expansion. We're praying for growth. That's why we're doing this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because we're expecting God to do miracles. Are you listening, church? Revival comes when God's people pray. It's time to pray. Not regular, normal, ordinary prayers. But we need to pray extraordinary prayers. We need to pray unified prayers. We need to pray desperate prayers. Those are the kind of prayers we need to be doing. We need to be desperate. Are you desperate for God? Are you desperate to see God do miracles? Are you desperate, church? Or are you just want to continue business as usual? No. You just want to continue to come to church and go home and sing a few songs and go on with the rest of your week and then come to church and praise the Lord, sing a few songs and go home rest of your week. You want business as usual? Or do you want to see growth? You want to see miracles? You want to see expansion? Then listen, church, it's time to change. We got to change. You can't be continuing the way you are. We cannot continue business as usual. Are you listening, church? It is time for God's people to say, I'm going to expect a miracle. I'm going to begin to pray for it. I'm going to begin to pray radical prayers, expansion prayers, extraordinary prayers, desperate prayers. I'm going to begin to pray because God has promised expansion. God has promised growth. God has promised it, but we have to be at our post. Amen, church. We have to be at our post expecting it and seeing God do great things. In fact, part of our promise for expansion and growth in Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3, it says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out your curtains and your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You shall expand to the right and to the left. You hear that, church? You shall expand to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. See, God has promised growth. God expects us to grow, but you and I need to pray for it. Like Jabez. Jabez in the Bible, he prayed for growth. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, he says, Jabez called on God, on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, and that I will cause no pain. So God granted him what he requested. See, Jabez, he prayed for growth. He prayed for expansion. He prayed for it. And the Bible says God granted him what he requested. It's time for God's people to expect miracles, to pray for miracles, to pray for expansion, because God is doing a new thing. But we got to be ready for it. God is anointing every single one of you, but we got to be ready for it. God wants to show you what he's anointed you to do. God wants you to be positioned for growth. Amen? Positioned for growth. And that's why, like I said earlier, we need a media team. We need a media team because miracles are coming. And we need to let the world know about the miracles. Not so that we can get famous. Let me tell you, this is not my idea to publicize what God is going to do. But God says, let the whole world know. So we got to let the whole world know. Amen? That's why we need a media, somebody that knows how to use a camera and film and record and put it online and put it on YouTube and let the whole world know what God is going to do. This is a challenge for me because it's like, don't give me the camera. I don't want you to film me, right? I don't want you, even recording, you know, the message, it's being recorded. I don't like to hear my voice when I hear the recording. It's like I start to hear myself, then I just turn it off because I don't want to hear my voice. Amen? But if you go online, go to our website, vosf.org, you could hear the latest messages. We have Pastor Andre Henderson. Now, last week was Evangelist James Fernandez. He's on there. You could hear it. And today, we'll probably put up my message in there, up there. But we got to do it because God says publicize it. Amen. Amen? Publicize it. So we need to publicize. God is getting ready to do miracles. Amen? See, obedience leads to miracles. And then we also see in verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. It says, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. We see that Peter needed help to bring in all the fish. God is going to bring in a great catch. But listen, we cannot do it alone. We need unity with the body of Christ. We need to be united. We need to be one. Are you listening to me, church? See, God's going to bring in a great catch like we saw for Christmas. There was a great catch, right? But we needed help to keep that catch. Amen, church? We needed people to be at their post with the follow-up. We needed people to be at their post with the ushers and the hospitality and the greeters. We needed people to be at their post. We need people to be outside ushering, even though it's raining, but you're willing to stand outside early in the morning greeting people and staying out there even during the service. That's what we need. Amen, church. That's what we need. But are you willing to hold on tightly to the net? Because we need to be prepared, but we need to do this with unity. We need to be united. If you get asked to go outside and stand and greet people, you need to say, yes, I'll do it with joy. Amen, church. Amen, church. Listen, you got, yes, I'll stand out there, even if it's during the service, even if I miss out on what's going on. But the Bible tells me it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, you are receiving, and it is a blessing to receive. But the Bible says it's better to give. It's better to stand out there in the rain and greet people with a smile as they come into church. They're seeing a face. Amen? How many know faces attract faces? Faces attract faces, but when they come to the front of the building, and if they see just a building there, and then you got to press the button to get in, and you're wanting to go to church, and I say, this is just the YMCA building, what do you think most people are going to do? Walk away. But if there's a face out there greeting people, welcome to Victory Outreach. We're right here, and then you bring them in the house of God. See, that's what we need, amen? We need unity. We need unity. We need God's people saying, yes, whatever is asked of me to do, I will do it. Because I am united. I am being united. I am one. Amen, church. We are a people that need to work together. There is power in unity. And when all of us are holding on tight to the net, then there will be no fish getting lost. Look, he called his partners. Hey, come on over. And because they came over, they filled both boats. But what if they would have said, no, that's your catch. I'm going to work for you. And they would have stayed over there. They wouldn't have came and helped. Then they would have lost a lot of fish. A lot of fish would have gotten lost. But because they came to help, both boats were filled. And then they began to hold on tightly to that net. And they dragged all those fish in on the net because they didn't fish the way we do today with the hook, right? They had nets back then. And they would fish with nets. And they had to drag that net in with all that fish. And they needed two boats to do that. Amen? They needed unity. There's power in unity. Amen, church? Psalms 133, verse 1 says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. How beautiful it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. Because there, God commands his blessings. Amen, church? How many are ready for the blessings of God? How many are ready for God to bless you? How many are ready for God to encourage you? How many are ready to work together in unity? Amen, church? Not complain. Not argue. Not say, I did it already. Let somebody else do it. Let the young people do it. And the young people say, let the old people do it. Listen, it's time to just do it. Amen, church. Amen, church. The example in the Bible is Abraham and his nephew Lot. They could not work together. In Genesis 13, verse 7 and 8, it says, quarreling arose between Abraham's herders and Lot's herders. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Because Lot had a lot of herders and cattle and sheep, and Abraham had a lot of herders and cattle and sheep. Their people began to argue with each other, quarrel with each other. And it bothered Abraham. He says, listen, Lot, we got to stop this arguing. Why don't you take your people, take your crops, take your herd, and go that direction, and I'll go this direction, because we're relatives. We're brothers. You're my nephew. We're family. We can't be arguing like this. So let's just separate our ways. And know what Abraham, or know what Lot said? He said, okay. And they went their own way. Lot should have said, listen, Abraham, we're going to stick with you. In fact, all my herders, all my cattle, I'm going to put them under you. You have them all. We're all going to stay together. We're going to be one. But because Lot did not do that, he went his own way. The Bible says Lot ended up in Sodom. And we know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It got burned with fire. It was a sinful land. Amen. And because Lot went his own way, did not want to be united, did not want to be one, he lost everything he had. Instead of coming under Abraham and saying, okay, Abraham, you're the man that God chose. We're all going to come under you. And we're going to give you all of our cattle, all of our sheep, all of our people. We're going to come under you. You tell us what you want us to do. You tell us where you want us to go. But because of lack of unity, He missed out on everything. Listen, church, don't hold on to something that God gave you. Don't hold on to something that God put in your hands. God put it in your hands so you could surrender it. God put it in your hands so you could surrender it. Abraham was the man that God chose. And he said, God, and he tells Lot, listen, Lot, let's stop arguing. Go your way. Abraham could have said, listen, you follow me and do what I say. Abraham could have said that. He probably didn't want to force him to follow him. He wanted him to want to follow him. Amen? And because he didn't want to follow him, Abraham missed out, or Lot missed out. In fact, Abraham had to go and rescue him. If it wasn't for Abraham, Lot would have died too. But Abraham had to go and rescue him before God sent down fire from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? So listen, there is power in unity. And you and I need to work together. Stop arguing and bickering and fighting. In fact, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not lacking your own interests, not looking to your own interests, but each other's interests, but look after each other's interests. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Amen? We need to be united. There's power in unity. God's going to bring the miracles. God's going to bring the growth. God's going to bring the expansion. But there's got to be unity. We got to be united. It's so powerful that we are united. Don't complain. You see something wrong in the church, don't complain. Just try to fix it if you can. And if you can't, pray about it. Amen? Pray about it. Try to bring a solution. Don't point out all the problems, because there are problems. In fact, there's more problems than what you see. There's more than what you could see. But don't complain about it. Don't argue about it. Don't get rebellious about it. But pray about it and try to solve it if you can. And bring a solution. Don't just bring the complaint. Amen? Don't just bring the problem. Bring the solution. Hallelujah. See, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be united. There's power in unity. Hallelujah. There's power in unity. We don't want to lose the fish that God's going to bring in. We don't want to lose the crop that God wants to bring in. Lack of unity, we're going to lose a big crop. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's move on to verse 8. Look what verse 8 says. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Peter says, he saw the miracle. He saw a great miracle take place. It was a great catch that happened. And the other people that were around, they saw the great miracle that Jesus did. And what does Peter do? He runs to the feet of Jesus. And he says, go away from me. I am a sinful man. What did Peter have? He recognized the presence of God. He probably thought that Jesus was just another teacher. He called him master. Okay, he's teaching. He has great teachings, and all these people are following him. And he probably thought he was just a great teacher. He's giving all this great wisdom to the multitudes, and Peter is hearing this. But then when he saw the miracle, he realized he's not just a great teacher. He's not just a master, but that must be the Son of God. I'm in the presence of God. And he ran to the feet of Jesus, and he tells him, Master, get away from me. Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Peter recognized his personal sinfulness. He recognized that he needed to have conviction of sin. That's what God's people need, church. You and I need to recognize we are in the presence of God. When you're seeing everything that goes on around you, you're at work and you're just doing your job, but you're in the presence of God. Amen. You're at home and you're just doing your regular chores at house. You're taking out the garbage. You're washing the dishes. You're mopping, sweeping, whatever you do. But you need to realize you are in the presence of God. See, Peter realized, no, I am in the presence of God. And he ran to the feet of Jesus and he said, Lord, get away from me. I am a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence. You and I need to recognize that we don't deserve what God's going to do. We don't deserve to be in the presence of God. We don't deserve to see miracles. But you got to be a man, be a woman of conviction. This is so important. We cannot be people that are doing the work of God, but we're playing with sin on the side. We got to be men of conviction, women of conviction. Amen, church. We got to get rid of sin from our life. We need to be people of repentance. Listen to me. Are you able to repent of your sins? Are you able to repent? One way you'll know you're able to repent is when you get confronted. When you get confronted. This brother, sister, you're sinning. You got to stop that sin. And how you respond determines if you have conviction. If you get angry at that person that's confronting you of your sin, you have no conviction. But if you repent, yes, you're right. Yes, I'm a sinner. I am. I've committed that sin. I've been committing adultery or drinking or getting high or whatever that sin is. I've been in sin. I've been watching pornography. I've been doing things that I shouldn't be doing. I've been going to places I shouldn't be going. And you get confronted with that sin. And if you get rebellious, and who are you to tell me what to do? If that's your response, every response is, none of your business what I do. You have no conviction. But if your response is, yes, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to be in the presence of God. See, that's a sign of conviction. Like Peter, I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I don't deserve to experience these miracles. I don't deserve it. See, that's what God is looking for, a man or a woman with a broken and contrite heart. Listen, I've confronted people with sin before in the past. And many times, they get mad at me for confronting them with their sin. And it's not like a little minor little thing, you know, little white lie. That's not good either. But I'm confronting them for fornication. Leaders in the church, I've confronted them. They're fornicating with different girls in the church. And I confront them. When I find out, I confront them. Know what they do? They get mad at me. I go, why are they getting mad at me? I don't understand that. I've confronted people with different things. I'm not talking about today or recently, but in the past, right? I've confronted people with sins. And many people get mad at me. And many of them are still mad at me. Still mad at me. And I'm just telling them what the Word of God says. And they're mad at me. There's no conviction of sin. But when you get confronted with sin and you say, yes, I messed up. I messed up. I blew it. I need help. I can't seem to shake it off. Now you're admitting your sin. Hallelujah. I can't seem to let this go. It keeps, you know, whatever it is, I can't seem to get it off my back. Now you're able to be worked with. Now you're able to experience a breakthrough because you're admitting your sin. Like King David in the Bible, he's a good example. He was the king of Israel. Nobody could tell him anything. But he committed sin and murder. You know the story, right? When he saw Bathsheba, right? Committed adultery. Then he killed her husband, Uriah. Amen. He committed these big, terrible sins. The king of Israel, King David, the man after God's own heart, is now a big sinner. And God sends a prophet named Nathan to confront David of his sin. And he confronts him and he tells him, you're the man. You're the man that stole another man's wife. You committed adultery with his wife. You're the man. And know what David says? Yes, I'm a sinner. He admitted it. The king of Israel, he could have called guards and had Nathan the prophet thrown into the dungeon. He could have. He's the king. Who's going to tell the king anything? But because he was a man of repentance. See, your position, your title has got nothing to do with it. Amen, church. Repentance. Amen. He repented. You and I, church, We need to be repentful. We need to recognize that we are in the presence of God. We need to recognize our personal sinfulness, and we need to have conviction of sin. It is time to pray. Amen, church. Time to pray for conviction. Time to pray for repentance. People that have repentance, for there to be reconciliation, for there to be a personal renewal. We need to pray for a spiritual awakening. It is time to pray. I sent many of you that text to pray for those things. Amen? And it is very vital, very necessary that you and I are men and women that repent, that we are able to reconcile with one another, forgive one another when we get hurt. Amen, church? We're able to forgive. We're able to have a personal renewal, which is a passion for God and a passion to do God's work. We need to have a spiritual awakening. It's time for the church and the people of God and the lost souls in the streets to wake up. Amen, church. We got to pray for spiritual awakening. It is time for God to do great and mighty things. But the people of God, we got to be ready. Are you listening, church? We got to be in position. And last but not least, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Look what happens. Verse 10 and 11. The last part of verse 10 says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him." It is time, church, to be obedient to God. Obedient to your calling. Listen. It's time to obey what God has called you to do. Be obedient to your calling. Peter was a fisherman. And his brother Andrew and James and John were fishermen. They were fishing, and they experienced this miracle of a great catch come in. And then Peter runs to the feet of Jesus. "I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. I don't get away from me. I don't deserve to be in your presence." And what does Jesus do? He tells him, "I've called you for something greater. You're fishing for fish, but I've called you to be a fisher of men." Jesus changed his occupation. Jesus changed his, he was a fisherman fishing out in the seas. Now he needs to be a fisherman fishing on land, fishing for people, fishing for souls, winning souls all over the known world. That's what God had called him to do. God changed his occupation. Listen, church, God wants to change some of your occupations. What have you been doing? God wants to change occupations. Amen, church. Amen. God wants to change your occupation. God wants you to be a fisher of men. God wants you to be a person that is fishing for people. God wants to change your occupation. I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying, church. God is calling you for something greater. Listen, it's just me being the only full-time minister in this church is not enough. There needs to be more people in full-time ministry. There's a great catch that is coming in. There is a great catch that is coming in. And God wants to change your occupation. What are you doing? Are you fishing in the ocean? Or are you fishing for men? Listen. Maybe physically, God may not change your occupation. Maybe you're going to continue working that whatever job you're doing. But in your mind, God is changing your occupation. And there's others of you that God is physically going to change your occupation. God has called you into full-time ministry, to live by faith, to trust God. Like you heard Rosa say earlier, we only got $4 in the only $4 left. We got to trust God. What's going to happen? And you got to give it away. And then you see a miracle take place. Amen. You see God provide. Amen. Listen, God wants some of you to live like that. Live by faith. Trusting God. Believing God for miracles. Are you listening, church? It's so vital that you begin to understand that God wants to change your occupation. So, and it starts in your mind. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. When I first got saved, I was an engineer. I worked in Silicon Valley, in Mountain View. I lived in San Francisco, but I was going to church here at Victory Outreach San Francisco. I was a faithful member of Victory Outreach San Francisco. and I'm driving to Mountain View every day, 5 days a week, because that was my occupation, to be an engineer. And I'm driving back and forth. But guess what? In my mind, I'm not an engineer. In my mind, I need to be at church. Every time I would drive to work, and I'm working on all these big projects and, you know, things that if I would explain, it would blow people's minds, all the stuff that we were doing, you know, as an engineer. People would say, wow, that's heavy. But to me, I was wasting my time. I felt like I was wasting my time. Because I knew that in my mind, I'm in full-time ministry. In my mind, I'm in full-time. For 12 years, I'm driving to Mountain View every day, back and forth. And for 12 years, my mind was in the ministry. I'm wondering, what are they doing at the office? What are they doing at the church? What's going on over there? I'm thinking over there, and I'm over here working as an engineer. But in my mind, I was in full-time ministry. In my mind, I was in full-time ministry. But physically, I was an engineer. 12 years later, my occupation physically changed to full-time ministry. Amen, church. Amen. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you're going to... Not everybody's going to quit their job. I'm not saying everybody go quit your job, right? I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God is changing your occupation in your mind. In your mind. See, the ministry should not be secondary. If I got time, I'll do the ministry. No, your job should be secondary. That's for 12 years as an engineer. I'm working with all these smart people, with scientists, physicists, other engineers. I'm working with them, these smart people. And to them, that was their life. That was their career. That's what they lived for. But for me, I just did my 8 hours. As soon as my 8 hours was up, I'm out of here. Many of them, they continue to work. They would even take their work home. They even had laboratories in their garages, and they would take their work home and work on the weekend over projects. For me, the weekend is God's. I'm not going to spend it for my job. Amen? That was the mentality of all the other workers, and they looked weird. They looked down on me because 8 hours is up. I'm out of here. I got to go to church. I got to get ready for the ministry. I got to go to a Bible study. I got to go to a discipleship. I'm going to whatever it was that I got to go. Amen? That my job was, it was secondary. It wasn't priority. Christmas parties. And they would take us to fancy restaurants and everybody's drinking. I can't go. You have to go. I'm not going. And I didn't go to their Christmas parties. Right? Because I needed to be in church. Right? Because my job was secondary, because in my mind, I'm in full-time ministry. In my mind, I'm in full-time ministry. I knew something, that God had called me for something. I did not know I was going to be a pastor at the time. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew God had called me for something. I knew something. It wasn't just to be an engineer, but I did that job because that's what God had me at that time. But in my mind, I was in the ministry. It was secondary. My job was secondary. The ministry was primary. That's what we need. We need people in our church that will make the ministry a primary, a priority. Yes, you might have a job, and you got to fulfill that job. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I did what I had to do. Amen? I met the requirements that they required of me. I did what I had to do. They never fired me. When it was time for me to quit my job, I'm praying that they would lay me off. Lay me off. That way I can get a severance check. I was there for 12 years. I would have got $12,000 check for if they would have laid me off. They were laying off many people. Okay, lay me off. Everybody else was scared. Oh, no, they might lay me off today. Everybody's worried at the job, but I'm excited. Oh, they're going to lay me off today. $12,000 check. I could use that because I was going to go into full-time ministry. Live by faith. That'd be powerful. Great. And they never laid me off. They never laid me off. God wanted me to trust him, not leave with $12,000. God wanted me to trust him for the $12,000. Amen? And eventually I had to quit. And when you quit, you get nothing. Amen? I wanted them to let me go. I thought they were going to let me go because, like I said, I was just doing my... They were secondary. They weren't primary. And they knew it. They knew I was a Christian. They knew I was living for God. They knew I was on my way to church. They knew what I was doing. And they knew they were secondary, but they still didn't let me go. Lord, come on, let them let me go, but they didn't let me go. But God has provided every step of the way. God has provided. Listen, church, God will provide for you. But your mind, we need people's mind to be, I need the ministry. The ministry is my what God has called me to do. You are no longer fishing for fish. Jesus tells Peter, you're going to be fishing for people. You're going to be fishing for men. You're going to be fishing for women. You're going to be fishing for lost souls. Amen, church. You're going to be fishing. You're going to be doing the work of the ministry. God changed his occupation. I almost forgot the word. God changed his occupation. Are you ready to let God change your occupation? Are you ready to let God change your occupation? See, it all starts in the mind. In the mind, Sundays is the Lord's day, right? Sunday, okay, whatever is needed for me to do, I'm going to do it for God. Amen, church. Right? It shouldn't be, oh, well, I got to go to a service. I can't go today because I already made plans. No, Sunday's the Lord's day. We're going to San Jose. We're going to Fremont. We'll go wherever we go. Let's go. Amen, church. And you should be excited. See, that's a sign of revival when God's people are excited for the things of God. They're excited for the things of God. Why am I saying all this? And I know I'm taking a little longer today, but this is important that you understand this. Why am I saying this? Because there's a great catch that is coming. And God is telling us, go into the deep. Go into the deep. Go step out. Do something that doesn't make sense. Do something that doesn't make sense. Serve me, he says. Live for me. Honor me with your life, with your time, with your money. Honor me with your possessions. Honor me with your occupation. Honor me with your mind. Honor me, he says. Honor me. Put me first in every area. God says, because a great catch is coming. And if we are not holding on to the net, then we're going to lose the catch. Because the net has holes in it. And not everybody's at their position, at their post, holding on tight to this net. God wants us to be at our post, be at our place, and God wants us to publicize the miracles. I need a multimedia person. Somebody knows about how to upload and download YouTube and record. I need somebody that knows how to do that stuff. Amen. If you know how to do that stuff, stop sitting on your talent. Amen. Amen. And say, here I am. Send me. Hallelujah. God wants us to publicize the miracles. Are you ready to publicize it? Are you ready to let God change your occupation in your mind? It starts in the mind. Amen, church. And if it leads to physically, then that's the Lord will make a way for that. But it all starts in your mind. In your mind, you're no longer whatever you do, a secretary or whatever your job is. I don't know what your job is. In your mind, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you let God go from there. Amen, church? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands, church. Worship team, come.